Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Well, there's no question about it. Many Americans are unhappy with their health insurance, whether it's the cost, the choice of providers, or the fact that insurance companies dictate the medical care instead of our doctors. Families want better choices. Well, today on the podcast, we are going to address the constitutional and biblical aspects of healthcare in the U.S. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlatus, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you, mama, are joining us again today. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, today's a very interesting topic, and I'll tell you a little bit about my guest. Mike Sharman is the chief legal counsel for Share Healthcare, an alternative for traditional insurance companies. He received his JD from the University of Wyoming. Mike and his wife, Nancy, are also homesteaders who are passionate about promoting biblical values and religious freedom. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us on the Moms for America podcast to talk about maybe a little bit of an unusual topic, healthcare. This is not something we cover on a regular basis, but boy, does this affect moms and families all across the country. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me so much. I appreciate it.
So a little bit about your family. I think your wife is one of our moms.
She is a cousin.
Yeah, tell us.
Nancy Sharman, yep. And go ahead.
Yeah, just tell us about your family.
Well, we live on Foothills of Faith Farm in Madison County, Virginia. And a couple years ago, Nancy had seen the Moms for America booth at CPAC. It was, I believe, in Dallas. And, you know, if you've been to CPAC, you know, there's thousands of vendors there.
Yes.
Hundreds, maybe thousands is a stretch, but maybe not that much. But anyway, the only one she paid attention to was the Moms for America, heard about it, talked about with them. And so she started the cottage in our county, Madison, first. Then Culpeper County, which is just above us, joined. We have folks from Rappahannock come, and then we had people from Orange. Then Karen Hamilton, who's currently running for our state legislature, then she pulled off. She was part of my wife's cottage in Madison, but then she pulled off from that to start one in her county, which was Orange.
Nice.
And then we have another one beginning up here in Culpeper as a standalone so that they can each build their own strength there.
Nice. Wonderful. Well, we're so glad to have them a part of our family. It's moms all across this country doing just that, teaching the principles of liberty in their home and affecting their kids and their grandkids and their communities. So that's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about the culture right now. I think when we talk about healthcare in the medical field, there is a lot of one confusion. There's a lot of frustration, and there even is a lot of anger. Clearly, this murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson is seeing actually an outpouring of support for this man that is the murderer. And it's kind of bringing this discussion to light. Not that this is a good example, clearly, but people are kind of angry and bizarrely angry about healthcare.
Well, it definitely does show the degree of resentment and anger at being, even if people don't know this is why they're angry, they've been pushed into a socialist model and been pushed into a that socialist model by an oligarchy of the very large hospital systems and the very large insurance by the monopoly of the federal government. And they, of course, but people rarely know that's the problem. The problem is they've lost their freedom. And because they've lost their freedom, they don't have choices that they would make themselves. And competition has been stulted. The supply range has been shortened so much.
Yeah.
And they feel very, very frustrated. And many, many years ago, when I was in college and studying international relations, I had a course on the theory of revolution. And the
Okay.
theory of revolution is very simple. Dangle something out in front of somebody as their hopes and wants and needs, and don't give them a way of satisfying that. And guess what? You're going to have revolution. So we have very few liberty choices now, very few freedom choices in our health care of where we would go, or even if there's a hospital right next to us, if our insurance coverage does not have that in its network, too bad. Or maybe that hospital is, but our doctor's not. Then we expect that, okay, well, I have insurance, so I'm going to be able to have this paid for. But lo and behold, sometimes not. Or you
And
think
it
you have it paid for, but your deductible is very high, so your $100,000 bill left you with a $20,000 or $30,000 bill. So people get
Right.
frustrated, angry. They really can't sort through those reasons, and you have revolution.
Yeah. Well, truly, and there's nothing more important, I mean, besides our faith in Jesus and our families, is your health. And we saw a lot of this affecting us with COVID, or limitations on access to medical help, or not medical. I mean, I'm even thinking about, when you have a functional doctor or something, like you don't have the liberty to move around. You got to pay a lot of out of pocket. There's a lot of scenarios on this, and pre-existing, all these different questions. But one of the things we were just talking about before we started this conversation is the constitutional aspect of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Give us a little bit on that and how that pertains to this discussion.
So, what started us as a nation? The Declaration of Independence. We were not a nation before July, actually July 2nd, 1776, when they signed it and passed it. But the multiple signings occurred on the 4th, which is why we celebrate that. But we weren't a nation before. We were a colony. After that, we were. So there is nothing United States of America before that, and there was after. So then it took a while, and we had then our constitutional convention. All right, so the Declaration of Independence is what started us as a nation. It's our founding document. And yet so many courts and legal theorists ignore that as a viable legal document today, but it is so important because, as you mentioned, are these governmental constraints we've had imposed upon us hurt us in our pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is what the Declaration had at the very beginning of it. It said we're all endowed by our Creator, capital C Creator, with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right, so that founded us as a nation. That was it. And that declaration is what's resounded through all of our history. We're in our 250th anniversary celebration now.
Correct.
Again, it goes through next year, but it resounded throughout all the world. The world wants that. You don't have to be trained in constitutional law or American history to understand you want freedom. You want to be able to make the choices that are necessary for your life, your liberty, your happiness. So then the Constitution was created, and I live in Madison County, Virginia. I'm 20 miles from James Madison's home. And he is the known as the father of the Constitution, but probably more properly, really is his impact on the Bill of Rights. And it was here in our area where he made a deal with the Baptist pastor that that would be the first thing that he would do in Congress when he was elected, if that Baptist pastor would get all the Baptists around here to vote for.
Being used is
That's
right.
what got him into the Constitutional Convention and then the Bill of Rights. So that Bill of Rights, now that the Constitution tells us how we are to operate as a nation. Declaration created us as a nation. Constitution says how we're to operate with ourselves as a nation and others, other nations. So the Constitution can't do anything contrary to our founding document.
There you go.
It should not be able to do anything contrary to our pursuit individually that we've been given by God unalienably for life, the pursuit of
Liberty,
happiness.
pursuit of happiness.
So how come we're stuck with you have to have insurance, you have to have this type of insurance, your insurance has to pay for abortions, your insurance has to pay for abortifacients, your insurance has to pay for gender destruction, your insurance has to pay for other people's addictions, But that's forced upon us. That totally distorts the biblical models which we have for how to govern ourselves of capitalism, free market, democracy, and a democratic republic.
Right. So true. And this is a lot of the complaints that you hear and concerns that people definitely share. When you think about this, do we still have, I mean, when we look at other countries, does America still have the greatest healthcare available with the most freedoms,
Well,
even though it's completely, broken?
I haven't lived in a whole lot of other nations. I haven't lived in any other nation. I've visited just a couple. But
well, you hear these stories about Canada and Norway and, you know, like socialized medicine, the long list of terrible situations that people go from transplants to you're too old, you tap out, you know, you're not considered, you know, a candidate. And they come to America. They do come to America looking for hope.
Well, that was what I was going to say. I haven't lived elsewhere and I haven't really been involved in their healthcare systems. But what I do know is we have medical tourism here.
Yeah.
We have people coming over from Canada all the time.
Yeah.
Wealthy Saudi Arabian princes will send their children here for care. If they have a problem, they'll come here. On and on. Now, we do want to be flexible enough and get past the oligarchies of the American Medical Association, the Hospital Association, and as I mentioned, the monopoly of the governments on us. We want to get flexible enough to pick up the good things that are in other nations that they do with health care and the innovations. You mentioned COVID a little earlier. Well, we heard about different protocols that were being followed elsewhere that would have helped us and our nation if we had followed
Sure.
it. And we didn't.
Right.
Because we had that oligarchy pushed onto us.
Right. Very true. Yeah. So let's talk about, I mean, some of the issues that we see too is that doctors are limited with what they can and can't do. You have to have, I mean, I have a PPO, some people have an HMO, and the limitations that are with that with the doctors. And like you said, you can't go to this doctor because you don't have that. Some of those challenges. And then maybe some of the things that, you know, I'd like to even talk a little bit about President Trump. He's addressing some of these issues and trying to correct them, from what I'm understanding.
Well, he's expanding freedom in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah.
And he's trying to remove the barriers to healthcare that there are too. He's the things that he's done in the executive orders on trying to have everything have to fit biological reality of there are males and there are females, and that's
right.
it. Everything else is a fiction.
Right.
You know, I had seen a couple of different articles on this to talk about the fiction of transgendering. I'd seen a couple of different articles on this Viking warrior that the grave was discovered a long time ago, supposedly a Viking warrior from 1200 years ago. And for many, many years, hundreds of years of the history after this had been found, they assumed it was a man because it was a warrior. And the and Viking burial style, buried with their horse, buried with the spear, buried with the sword. And then they realized, no, this is biologically a woman. So hundreds of years of history had made the mistake and assumed, well, because this person's a warrior, we assume it's a man. But whatever other Viking history lets us now know, there are a lot of women warriors. They hadn't really looked into it until then.
Look at that.
But
I believe it. I believe it, especially if you're trying to do anything with their families or their children.
That's right. Mama bear comes out, right?
That's it.
but let's just say for the sake of the argument that she was hiding her gender. Now, over a millennium has passed and she can't hide it. And the historians were mistaken. But biology proves it. You know, a man is a man, a woman is a woman, and President Trump's trying to make sure we all got that basic premise.
Yeah, he sure is.
That helps open up so many more freedoms for families because it's making it harder for those that are wanting to oppose the basic godly model.
Especially for children, especially for the children,
well,
mutilating the kids, yeah.
Hurting the children, but taking away parental rights.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And that
Yeah.
basic premise of pursuit of our happiness was a known biblical construct at the time, which had two
Yeah.
parts of it. One part was your family, was what made you happy. The other part was your work, which made you happy. You look at scripture, and those are the two areas in which, we're told, happy is the man. Yeah, so that is your family makes you happy and your work makes you happy. So when government comes in and says, well, we're going to tell you what to do, they've taken away a huge liberty there. And
Yeah.
so that gets to that issue of, well, what parts of what President Trump is doing in healthcare helps? Well, I think one of the main things he's known for is being a disruptor of the status quo and
Yes.
inviting in disruptors of the status quo, which it'd be kind of hard to find somebody more disruptive of the status quo in healthcare than Bobby Kennedy Jr.
About it.
And,
How about it?
right.
Yes,
And
we
we're
are so
all
glad to have him there.
8 months into this presidential cycle, and we're already this far.
I
So
know.
where else we're going to be going with that?
And thinking about that too, you've got that whole vaccine issue and just so many things that have been just cash cows, basically,
That and
for
also again,
hurting
power
your
likes
kids.
to use power when it's being done in an unbiblical way. And so many doctors during that COVID era were told to ignore their own knowledge of what's happening with their own patients. And they had to follow this protocol. They had to give those vaccines whether they wanted to or not. They could not speak up against it. And
And
if
it was
they did,
connected with bonuses too,
bonuses as well as their very license to practice. I mean,
Yeah.
doctors lost their license.
What a mess.
Yes.
All right, stay with us. We've got more from Mike coming right up after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning, from free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their Schoolbox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. Hey, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to, of course, like, subscribe, and share this podcast. And also, I want to encourage everyone to check out our library of past podcasts on all of our platforms, some incredible podcasts of the past. So please check us out. Let your mom friends know about that. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, you can go ahead and email me directly at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I'd love to hear from you. Also, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening. I surely hope that you are part of our sisterhood, that you have joined our movement here at Moms for America. I call us the ultimate support group for conservative moms. It's moms like us all across the country. We are uniting and fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join? Well, it's really simple. You go to momsforamerica.us. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can fill out any of the forms. You can talk about joining a group in your area or starting a group in your area. And of course, taking advantage of all our incredible resources that we have available for you there. So again, check out momsforamerica.us. And now back to the show. One of the things too, President Trump is talking about, and he signed an executive order on this, is to empower patients with price transparency regarding healthcare costs. And I think that has been another big issue too, right? We never know what anything is going to cost. We never know that. And it keeps going on and on and on. You see,
He had
getting
tried
bills for years.
to do that in his initial first term. And, we all thought, oh, this is going to be great because there is no such thing as a price for something in healthcare. I've represented a number of people who were defendants in large bill suits by the hospitals. I mean, $300,000 worth of bills. And I got the hospital to drop it just by asking in discovery, well, how much would this bill be if it was Kaiser Permanente? How much would this cost be if it was Blue Cross Blue Shield? And rather than answer those questions, I would list out all the different insurance. And rather than list out their multiple prices, they would just drop the case.
Oh,
That lets you
nice.
know how important secrecy was to them. And, again, if we look at this in biblical terms, the word occult just means darkness. Satan likes to work in darkness.
Sure
People
does.
are working
Hide it.
uneven scales, uneven balances, right?
Yeah, no
They like to work
transparency and hide it. Yep.
in darkness. So if we get transparent prices, then we can begin having true competition. You mentioned you're in a PPO. Well, that's a non-competitive tool. It's your provider is forcing you to go to these, plan providers. And the same with when they say they have a network, same deal. So it's, as I mentioned pretty much at the beginning, we have these oligarchies of the big insurance, oligarchies of big hospital systems, and then the monopoly of government. You get them all together, and we lost a ton of freedom.
Yeah. Well, you actually, you just talked a little bit about uncovering, and I can say this now, you're on the legal counsel for an alternative form of health insurance, and it's called ShareHealth. People are looking for alternatives. Tell us a little bit about this here, just so we understand what type of insurance that is, and maybe, maybe consider this as an alternative.
Right. It's not insurance. It's a totally different construct than insurance. Insurance is a contract. This is a covenant. And our name is what we are, share healthcare. And healthcare is one word in that. Share healthcare. It's one word. We have a covenant that's given to us in scripture. There's about 20 some one another verses that tell us how we are to deal with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Kind of throughout that is the basic dominant idea that we're to help each other when one of them is in need. We're to sorrow when the other's sorrowing. We're to joy with them when they're having joy. We're to share with them when they're financially down, and they're to share with us when we are. Probably one of the best phrases, in fact, sort of the life verse for share healthcare is Hebrews 13:16. But do not forget to do good and to
To one
share.
another.
First, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well, what Christian doesn't want God to be well pleased with them?
Right.
And how do we do
Amen.
that? By sharing, by not grabbing on, by not saying, well, what yours is mine, and what mine's mine, and I'm not going to give it to you. No, he wants us to share. So, a way of thinking about it, again, we're not insurance. So just blow that whole concept out of your mind. Your network is now any licensed medical professional in the world. As long as you send the bills back to us in English so we can divide them up and parcel them out. You share across denominations because Christ's last prayer before Gethsemane was the John 17, where he began first by saying that he was just, thank you, God, that you and I, God Father, thank you that you and I are one. Thank you that you gave me these disciples of mine, that they and I are one. And he started it very off by saying, I don't pray for the world. Which seems like a pretty strange thing for a John 3:16 sort of guy to say, that he doesn't pray for the world. He closed it out by saying, Father God, give me these the words, have the words of the that my disciples are saying, have those be followed by the ones they're saying it to, so that the world will believe. All right. He wanted to take away denominationalism. He wanted to take away all the separations that we do in personality and color and speech and all that from the body of Christ. He wanted us to be one. You think of the Bible from beginning to end to Revelation, in Genesis Revelation, it's talking about unity. And he wanted us as the body of Christ to be united. And when we are, the rest of the world's going to buy what we're selling. And so, how do we cross denominational lines today? Pretty hard. But we find a commonly held need, which is we're all going to have medical expenses. And then we deal with it in a biblical way. We share. So
so you pay, you become a member, for lack of a better term, right?
Right.
Then you each pay in per month, per family member. How does that work?
It's a, it works just exactly as you said. And it's $149 for a single person, $249 for a couple, $249, and then $349 per month for a family of four, $50 for each child after that.
Okay.
And that's also an evangelistic tool, because when you're trimming your hedges in your lawn and your neighbor across the fence comes over and you just start chatting, and he says, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. My health care just went up 37%, which is what it's supposedly going up to in New York. They're adding going up 37%. And you say, man, that's too bad. What are you paying? Now, the average across the nation for an employer-provided health care for a family of four is $2,600 per month.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So they'll say, you know, I'm paying thousands per month. And you say, oh, that's too bad. And then you say, well, what do you do for health care? You say, well, I'm part of a healthcare sharing ministry, Share Healthcare, and we pay $349 per month. Mm-hmm. You mean $3,400? No, we pay $349. Well, why is that? And that then, the evangelistic part of it, gives you the opportunity to say, well, we're all Christians, so we're praying for ourselves, we're praying for our family, we pray for others in this ministry. And it's a 501c3 ministry, by the way, the Christian ministry, the primary parts, sharing medically necessary medical expenses. And then you say, now, there's also, we believe our body is a temple. So, you know, no tobacco use, because you don't want to take in burning leaves.
Okay, no tobacco.
Right. And then, you know, I personally am a teetotaler, but Jesus apparently was not, or at least didn't endorse that. How do we know that? First miracle was turning water to wine. But we do also see that the Bible is constantly saying, don't misuse that. Don't do it to excess, all in moderation. So we define moderation as 2 to 3 drinks a week.
Okay.
So just those.
So we've got some stipulations on folks that are there. One, it's a biblical accountability, and two, it's a health accountability.
Absolutely. And those are about the only two constrictions. As I mentioned earlier, we want to be under the rule of law, but the rule of law under God. So
that's fair. Yeah. Right.
And it's interesting that we have to be exempt from insurance laws and exempt under the ACA to be able to do it, because they would mandate that we must give our dollars for abortion.
Right. That's what I was wondering. So totally independent. No government touches this. Otherwise, it gets completely complicated. How does this work? Is there deductibles?
No, there's not a deductible. 39 states have specific laws exempting healthcare sharing, and some of them say specifically you can't use insurance terms. So we wouldn't use insurance terms like a premium or a deductible. We do have a per event personal expense, and for that particular program that I mentioned of the $149, $249, $349, it's a $2,000 per event personal expense. So that's what you would share. And again, we tried to shape that according to a biblical model of, we're told we're to carry our own load, but what we can't carry, the burden, that's to be shared among the body of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, you know, Galatians 6:2. And that's both spiritually as well as financially and physically. You know, we're to help one another. So
if you went for, I'm just trying to make sure I understand. So if you went for an operation or whatever kind of treatment, the first 2,000 per person is your own responsibility.
Sure,
and then after that.
Right. And we have no per event limit. We have no annual limit, and we have no lifetime.
Okay.
To give sort of use an example, you go to your doctor just for a regular old checkup, and that's going to be, you know, $150 to $300. Well, that's something you can budget for, and that is your load. And he says, well, I want you to have a full blood work here. Well, those are about 900. So you're still under that 200,000, but that's still, you know, manageable. The blood work comes back and he says, well, I think you need to have an MRI. Bam, you're instantly above that 2,000. You're in 4,000 or 6,000 just by that. So if it comes back and says, nah, nothing, I was concerned, but no problem. Well, fine. that's everything above the 2,000 is shared among the rest of the body of Christ.
Okay.
If it goes up to you have cancer and it's going to take you years and years and cost $1 million, well, that's all shareable. And we do work hard at getting reductions of those bills because we know that in healthcare, no one pays retail except self-pay patients who are sued by the hospital. I mean, I've actually had a CEO of a hospital say that is the only time that somebody has to pay retail.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. So then what about prescriptions? I'm just trying to think of things that would affect me as a family member.
The prescriptions that are part of that situation, that event, they're shared to that same financial part. You know, up to, if it's just part of everything under 2,000, it would be your responsibility. If it's as part of the treatment later, like when you're in the hospital, everything's going to be above 2,000 instantly.
Sure.
So all the prescriptions that you're getting are going to be above 2,000.
Right.
And it just flows from there. I mean, we try to keep it very simple, as well as workable for everyone and actually meet the need that they have, which is, you know, I do want to know that I'm not going to have to be paying for the rest of my life on whatever this medical problem is. I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to really change our budget.
Right.
Maybe I'll have to, you know, budget a little on that 2000 if that occurs, but it's basically, I want to know that the church has my back. Yeah, that we're going to be okay as a family. We're going to be able to move forward. And also, you mentioned about the problems of choosing your doctor, what COVID would do, et cetera. You get to choose whatever doctor in the world you want, whatever healthcare professional. If you want for a pregnancy, if you want a midwife, fine. If you want a doctor, fine. Whatever one you want, that's your choice. And then that doctor gets to choose what care is right for you in consultation with you.
Sure.
He doesn't have to take the imposition of, well, your insurance company says you can only do X, Y, and Z. No, you do, and your doctor does.
And do doctors, Mike, do doctors have an issue taking this type of health care? No.
Some do.
Because they get paid.
Do. About, you know, out of 100 bills, we might have four or five that call and say, what's this? and
although I've heard these, you know, this type of format or you know, option, I know a lot of people are really doing it because one, maybe they're self-employed, they can't afford it, the big mecca where you have to spend a lot of $2,000 or $3,000 for their family. A lot of people are looking for options and they want to be able to control. They feel like there's just so much more control with their healthcare on this, and so I can understand why it's popular and why you know are sharing about share healthcare.
Well, and you use the term control, and the more control we have in our life in appropriate ways is the more freedom we have.
Yeah.
And healthcare sharing, you know, share healthcare, what we try to do is give you medical freedom, go anywhere you want, your doctor gets to do what he wants. And then financial freedom, well, we already mentioned that. You're saving, you know, an enormous amount of money per month. But then your religious freedom, your spiritual freedom. You don't have to feel bad whenever you send a check off to your insurance company because you don't have one. You don't have to feel bad that a portion of your dollar is going off to do things that would offend God. With this, you're sharing with other Christians to help them in their time of need. And you can feel comfortable that those Christians are going to come alongside you and do good and share, because the Christians know with such sacrifices, God's well pleased.
So how do we, well, that's a great wrap on this. How do we find out more information and check out this option?
Well, you can look online at sharehealthcare.com, sharehealthcare.com. And as you're looking at the website, have your notepad out and write out the questions you have. And then once you've got your questions together, you can call 1-844-SHARE-HC, 1-844-SHARE-HC. And the real live person on the other end of it, well, during working hours, because they go home to their families, but they'll be able to answer all the questions that you have.
Good. Because there's probably 100 questions that I'm not asking you that everybody is going, oh, I'd like to know more about this. So again, give a call, check out the website, and, you know, There's nothing more satisfying than being able to decide what you do with your money, where your money goes, and how it can benefit your family, especially when someone is sick. So thanks, Mike, for joining us. We so appreciate it, all the work you're doing. And thanks for like the biblical, constitutional insight to our freedoms as far as medical.
Fun stuff. Thank you, Debbie.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. And thanks for everyone else for being a part of today's show. For more information on Moms for America and all of our amazing programs, our resources, our webinars, our seminars, groups in your area, would you please check us out at momsforamerica.us? We would love to have you a part of our mama family. We say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America has all of the resources that you need. Anything that you're talking about in your house, I would say we have support for you. So, moms, plan on seeing you next week. Like, share, subscribe, and let's keep changing our country one home at a time. I'll talk with you soon. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.